Last Sunday, we began a series entitled Rooted. And it's more than just a series. We really believe that God has spoken something to our church that's going to influence our year together. That much of our year is going to be shaped through this idea of being rooted. Last week, we talked a little bit about, you know, that so many people in our society are unrooted. You know, they're like those seeds, those dandelion seeds. You know, you blow and puff and they're everywhere. And there's life in the seed. There's life in the seed. But until a seed is planted and put down roots, will it ever become fruitful? It won't happen. In fact, we talked about last week that you must be rooted to be fruited. I know, it's kind of cheesy, but we're going to be repeating that throughout our seasons ahead because it's so important. If we don't have roots, deep roots in our life, we will not be fruitful people. We will not live up to all the potential that God has placed within us. We know in Ephesians 2, it even says that we were created with good works in mind. God intended you to be fruitful, that your labors would be fruitful, that your ministry would be fruitful, that your marriages and families would be fruitful if you're married, if you're single, that your living and your ministry and your love for others, there would be good fruit in it. We need to be fruitful people, church. So that's why we're going to be taking sizable portions of this year to invest in this conversation. A couple of the scriptures that we looked at last week, here's the main one from Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And we shared about this last week, but I want to, as a reminder, reflect on this for just a moment. Would you read this with me? And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And last week, if you weren't here for the beginning of this message, I encourage you to go on our church website and you'll find podcasts under resources and listen to last week's message because it kind of laid the foundation for this entire conversation about being rooted. But in here you'll see that there's a couple of principles that are very important. One is, guess what? That it doesn't end at salvation. But just as we've accepted Christ, we must continue. There's a journey. In Psalms, David wrote about the pilgrimage that we are on. It is this journey of faith with a destination in mind. That it's not all wrapped up in that moment when we put our trust in God, but we must continue building upon that. We must continue. Second thing here is that as we continue, it says literally that like we're putting down deep roots. And then guess what happens? Then your faith will grow strong. We're not called to be weaklings in Christ, blown around like the trees outside right now in the middle of a storm, right? Looked out my window this morning, one of our trees, you know? Hey, guess what? We're not called to be like that. We're called to be deeply rooted with our lives built on Christ himself. Then our faith will grow strong in the truth we were taught. Here's a second scripture that we looked at last week as a reminder from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Those who have made the Lord their hope and confidence, those who have put their trust in the Lord, it says this, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with what? With roots that reach deep. Say it, roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. Oh, I love this. And they never stop producing fruit. Church, you've got to be rooted in order to be fruited. If there's no roots reaching down into the rich soil of God's word, into the rich soil of relationship with God's people, into the rich soil of learning and discovering the joys of being someone who's a ministering person to others, I'm telling you, the fruit doesn't come because our roots aren't down there. But man, I'm telling you, blessed are those whose trust in the Lord, who put down those deep roots. I love it. So the other thing last week that we began a conversation about is that for our church this year, there are two distinct elements that are at play here when we talk about being rooted. Last week, we talked about one of them in particular, and that is that when we're rooted, we're rooted in a particular place. And last week, I shared about the fantastic sense of God's calling us to stay rooted right here in Northwest Santa Maria. There's been some long conversations over the past years, lots of prayer, saying, God, would you reveal to us your will for our church's future? And we believe we are called right here, that we are called to put our roots down even deeper in Northwest Santa Maria, because we believe that there's even greater fruit in the days ahead. And if you want to hear more about that, again, go back to last week's message, because that's really what we talked about last week, was why we believe that God is calling us here and what God has made clear to us in this past seasons as we've lifted this question before the Lord. So one, God has called us to a place. He's called us here to bear fruit. Of course, not just in Northwest Santa Maria, but to all of our city and even to the world. God has called us to bear much fruit, but we do feel a special strategic kingdom purpose that God has put on our heart for this part of the city in which he's placed us. But there's another element to this idea of being rooted, and I would say it's even more important than where God has planted us and told us to put down roots. It even goes beyond that and is even deeper, and it's this significant meaning of being rooted, of being established in Christ. That we are established in him. This is the concept of discipleship. That we're not just Christians, we're disciples. I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen carefully. All disciples are Christians. Not all Christians are disciples. Let me say it again. All disciples are Christians. They've put their trust in the Lord. Their salvation has been secured. But I'll tell you what, all Christians are not disciples. When we looked at that scripture in Colossians, when it said that, hey, just as you have put your trust in the Lord, you must continue to grow, continue to put your roots down. There are some people who put their trust in the Lord and then stopped. And what happens is there is not this journey of discipleship. We talk about discipleship, meaning this, growing more and more like Jesus in every area of our life. That's discipleship. Growing more and more like our Savior in every area of our life. I need discipleship in my marriage, right? It's not like my spiritual life is over here and then my marital life is over here. No. Discipleship says, hey, your marriage must come into alignment. Because I'll tell you, when Jesus is not in a marriage, chaos happens over here, right? Jesus needs to be in the middle of my raising of my kids. When it's not, and I'm just kind of trying to figure it out all on my own, how to parent, how to be a dad to my kids, guess what? Chaos. Woo! Ever had any chaos with a kid, right? I need to be discipled in my parenting. My finances. Listen, I know how to do a little bit of basic math. My wife would sometimes argue about that. But listen, I understand kind of about financial principles, in, money out. I need to be discipled in God's ways of looking at my finances. Because if it was just me, I would assume that all my money is for me. Wrong assumption. Disciple me, Lord, in how I look at my finances. Stir within me something of generosity, of resourcing others. All the areas of our life, our sexuality, our ministry lives, everything to do with our relationships, all of it, my friends, all of us, every area needs to be discipled. We need to continue growing. This is this concept of putting our roots down deep. How many of you have ever seen a root on a tree, like the image that we had up there a moment ago? There's many roots going out in all directions. That's kind of like our lives, because our lives are multifaceted, right? So we do have our family life. We do have relationships at work. We do have, you know, our own being and who we are sexually, financially, all these different areas. And so, God, would you allow me to put my root down deeper in each of these different areas? Over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at a particular story that Jesus told that we're going to kind of give an introduction to today. And it's one about being established deeply, putting roots down deep, in which place, how we can grow in our discipleship and put our roots down deep. And it's from Matthew chapter 13. And if you brought your Bible, I would encourage you to open it. We'll put some scriptures up on the screen, but because especially we're going to be in this passage for the seasons ahead, I'd really like you to bring your Bible if you have one. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to get you one, okay? You find Pastor Joel after service and you say, hey, Pastor Tim said I could have a Bible. We'll get you one. But I want you to be able to underline and highlight and write little notes in the margins and get paper and shove it in there and take some notes about what we're going after. You can even steal these little connection cards and put notes on the back. You know, you don't have to turn those in if you don't want. It's for you to use. Matthew chapter 13, the verse 23 verses. We're going to read the first 9, and then we're going to read from 18 to 23. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. So you get the picture that people were thronging to Jesus. They wanted to hear from him. What does this man have to say? Every time he opens his mouth, something amazing happens and crazy miracles are taking place, and it's like, God, I want him to be close to that. And so this large crowd gathered around him. So Jesus gets off of the shore and into a boat. He pushes out just a little bit. And it says, then he sat there in the boat and he taught as people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, escúcheme. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seed fell on, and then he's going to talk about these. I want you to notice something there. He scattered across his field. I love the fact that God sows seed indiscriminately. He scatters seed everywhere because this whole earth, my friends, is his field. Every bit of this world is his field. There is no part of this earth that is not his field. In fact, we're told to go and make disciples of all nations. Everybody say all nations. Let me ask you a question. How can seed grow, right? Or let me phrase it better. How can disciples be made if seed is not planted? When we think about our world, it's a big world. 7.5 billion stories. 7.5 billion stories. Why do I say stories instead of people? Well, because every person has a story. Every story is unique. And Jesus, I love this, says he scatters seed in all of his field. There are places in this world who desperately need more seed scattered. Okay? Desperately. There's corners of our city that desperately need more seed scattered and planted. And God uses us to do that. If we're to make disciples of all nations, boy, let me tell you, there's a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of work ahead of us. God's opening up doors for Teresa to return to Vietnam soon. You know why she's doing that? She's doing that to sow seed. She's sitting next to my daughter, Kaylin, who is God's opened up doors in past years to visit countries and serve in countries like Cambodia and Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Trinidad, because God's put the world in her heart, because it's all his field. And I have to stop and pause and just reflect on the fact that we have a big world. And when we hear on the news stories coming out of places like Syria and Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and sometimes we can get us all anxious and angry about things that we hear that are happening. Let me tell you, it's all his field. And we need to keep in mind, Jesus, those people, those stories that are wrapped up in those nations, some of them that are so embattled against you, Jesus, right? God, we pray, Lord, that seed would find good soil. That seed would find good soil. That somehow, God, that you will do the miraculous to open up the earth to receive your word, to open up people's lives in their stories because you want to transform their stories. So God scatters the seed of the gospel everywhere, to everyone. The whole world is his field. But it goes on and it says this. Some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Bummer. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they did not have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then in the next verses, there's this conversation that happens between Jesus and the disciples. And we'll get to that in future weeks. But I want to just kind of go to verse 18 where Jesus now is giving explanation. So he's off of the boat now, okay? And he's like got his disciples around him. And they're talking about this parable. And Jesus kind of unpacks the story further for them so they really get it and make sure that they understand what he was telling in this story just about a farmer and soils. So in verse 18, we pick up Jesus talking to us, his disciples, and he says this. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath, remember, bummer, right? Represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. In other words, when people do not understand, there's this hardness in their life. So the concepts of the gospel, the concepts of the kingdom just kind of sit there on the surface. There is no penetration, right, into their minds, into their soul. There's nothing that comes in that is comprehended or that they can say amen to. There's nothing that germinates, that causes hope to arise. It just sits there on the surface of their life. And so, boop, boop, it's kind of brushed away. The birds come, pick it up, eat it. And Jesus says, yeah, that's really the enemy. Comes and just snatches it away. Some of us might think back to our lives and go, man, that was me for a long time. You know, anybody? That like, yeah, like you'd hear things, you'd hear stuff of the gospel, you'd hear stuff about Jesus, but it did not penetrate. Right? It never sank in where you could say, oh, wow, that's like for real? Whew. It's a big deal when that happens. Some of you even here this morning, man, I'm so thankful you're here. But maybe you would describe yourself as, yeah, I'm not really a Christian, I don't think. I really haven't like said yes to Jesus or, you know, made him the Lord of my life. I haven't put my trust in him. I'm kind of doing life on my own. And you might even in this morning say, maybe me, right? I'm just kind of, maybe I'm that hard soil. Because nothing has really penetrated in a way that I would say yes to that God has communicated to me. Going on in verse 20, the seed also fell on rocky soil. And Jesus says that represents those who hear the message, they immediately receive it with joy. Woo! Whoa, God, this is amazing. You died for me. You died to take away my sin. Oh man, I can be forgiven. I can be set free. I've been waiting for this day. So in other words, it's not the hard soil, right? It's actually soil that easily receives the message, but there's an issue. But since they don't have, everybody say it, deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away soon. Or they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Listen, in other words, we know that trials are coming. Jesus said there would be trials. Jesus didn't say that, hey, once we have put our trust in him, that all of life becomes easy. Every day is manageable on our own strength. We just get through it fine. We put our heads on our pillows every day saying, woo, that was amazing. No, sometimes we put our head on our pillow saying, woo, that was tough. God, I don't want another one like that one. I don't want that day to be like Groundhog's Day, you know, where it's like over and over and over, if you remember that movie. This was not a happy day. This is a tough day. But it says of people represented by that rocky soil, they receive it with joy, but they don't have deep roots. And so when those hard days come, guess what happens? That life dies. Their life in Christ dies. Like dies. Gone. And some here this morning may say, I wonder if that represents this last season of my life, where I am today. Then moving on, verse 22 says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. And he's using those things, worries and wealth, I think is, it's not just those two things, but he's talking about those like illustratively. That there's weeds in the ground. It's the weedy soil, right? It's that soil that starts to grow and everybody says, yeah, look, man, look at that, what's happening in your life. Woo, you know, you're sprouting up. And there's even some roots that start to go down, but there's these other things in life that have not been eradicated. There's these other things. There's worries, and then there's wealth, which could represent kind of other maybe temptations to go after. I'm going to pursue this instead of the Lord. I'm going to grow here, right? I'm going to grow this part of my life instead of growing my relationship with Christ, instead of putting my roots down deep in him, I'm putting my kind of roots in these other areas. And it's weeds, right? It's weeds. Guess what happens? It dies. The life dies. The life in Christ dies. The weeds thrive. Gets choked out, crowded out by worries and wealth. No fruit, it says, is produced. And then finally, in verse 23, Jesus says this, "But the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear." Maybe say truly hear. And understand. Say understand. There's something so different about that hard soil that couldn't be penetrated, right? There's something so different about this kind of soil, because not only did the seed penetrate, but it was like absorbed in. It was like surrounded by good soil. That seed is getting nurtured. It's getting everything that it needs. That represents that understanding that, God, I so deeply hold you within. The truth of who you are, the truth of what you have done for me, the truth of what you are doing in me right now as you begin to influence every part of my story. This is the soil of discipleship. Truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest. That life that God is given to us is now springing up, and we get to enjoy the bounty of the fruitfulness of our life. We get to enjoy it, but guess what? The fruit ain't just for us. Fruit begins going out and touching the lives of others. And guess what is inside fruit? More seed. One of the ways that we know that we have a fruitful life, a harvest-making life, right, is this, that the seed is going out from us. So now the very fruit of our life is now influencing others. And where there's been death, there's life in other people's lives. Where they don't have the joy and understanding of the gospel of Jesus, that he died for our freedom. He died to forgive us and set us free. Guess what? That's now beginning to come alive in other people's lives because they're around us. Because we're in the same garden, we're in the same field. We work at the same place, or we're in the same neighborhood, right? We're in school together. So we like rub elbows, and man, some of the fruit from my life is now producing life in them as well. There's this harvest that Jesus says this about. Produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. Listen, I don't know what makes people's harvest different, but you know what? I'm not the harvest inspector. That's up to Jesus. That's up to him. That's up to him. Our job is to be faithful, to put down deep roots, and to say, God, make me as fruitful as I can be. Make me as fruitful as I can be. But I think all of us should strive for 100-fold harvest lives. God, would you give me 100? God, would you give me 100? And he'll say, you know what? If you ask for it, I'll give it to you. If you ask me for that, I'll give it to you, but it's gonna cost you. It's gonna cost you, because there is going to be seasons in your life where, guess what? There's rocks that are gonna have to be removed. Are you willing to go through and pay the price for rock removal? Excavation is expensive, ladies and gentlemen. Am I right, Jake? Jake's giving me a thumbs up. Excavation is expensive. Are you willing to pay the price to get rid of the rocks out of your soil? Weeding is hard work. You can talk to my wife, Kelly, about summers in the bean fields in Western Iowa, with a little knife, right? Little weeding knife. going through row after row after row after row, weeding the bean fields. Because it's before all the fancy fertilizers and chemicals that they use now. I mean, it's hard work. Hard work, sweat, bleeding fingers, time spent when we'd be rather like in the living room watching football. Getting rid of weeds, my friends, is not easy. There's a price to be paid. Because even in fertile soil, we still deal with rocks, we still deal with weeds. And over the weeks to come, we're gonna really begin to look at some of that. God, where there's places in my life that are hard, God, I ask that you would till the soil of my life. We're gonna talk about how that's possible. We're gonna talk about that on Super Bowl Sunday. We're gonna be dealing with the hard places in our life. We're gonna be talking about, for a number of weeks, we're gonna be talking about how to excavate the rocks. We're gonna be talking about how to get our hands dirty in the soil of our life and pull out the weeds that would choke us. I wanna finish with one last scripture. I had some other things that I was going to share, but I'm going to save some of the goodness of all of this for some weeks to come. Jasmine, if you'd find 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here's what I want to tell you. 3 out of the 4 soils need the touch of God on them. Out of the soil types, listen, 3 out of 4 aren't the ones you want. Hard, rocky, and weedy. Those are not going to produce fruit. Produces death. Produces destruction. But I want to tell you this. No matter where you would say the soil of my life is today, every type of soil can be redeemed by God. There is no type of soil that God cannot remedy, that he can't redeem in order that roots can be planted deeply, deeply. And I want to show you a passage of scripture that for many in this room would be very familiar, but I want you to look closely at what it says. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. In humility praying. Praying simply just calling out to God. Prayer is simply our conversation with him, right? But it requires humility to come and say, God, I need something of you. I need something of your hands in the soil of my life. God, I cannot do this alone. If my people who are called by my name will come in humility and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That probably represents a lot of those rocks and weeds. Things just of life that are not righteous, they're never going to produce the fruit of God. Rocks and weeds, man, they just create more rocks and weeds. We got to turn from those things. We got to say, God, I will pay the price to see those removed from my story and situation. Who will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And I listen to this, and will heal their land. I will heal the soil of their life. I will put my hands right into the land. I love that it says, will heal their land. Not just remedy their situation, but will heal their land. Out of the four types of soils, guys, we got to recognize three of them are sick and need God's healing touch. Three out of the four aren't going to produce fruit. Three out of the four, we need God to heal. And guess what? Right even there in this scripture, we're given an easy pattern to say, well, it's not easy, but it's such a good pattern. Turning to Jesus in humility, saying, God, I need you. I can't do this all on my own. God, I am turning myself toward you. I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you with all my heart. And God, as I seek you, I am turning from all of those things that have been ruinous in my life, that have just caused torment and strife and pain. I am turning from those things, God. And I am now pursuing a new direction with you. And his promise is this. His promise is this. I will hear. I will forgive. And I will heal the soil of your life.